Yvonne Simmons is originally from Sarajevo. She's now an activist with Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, as well as the Clothesline Project. She travels the world to spread the message about women's equality, trying to raise awareness about sexual violence against women and children, and trying to stop it. Yvonne, thank you so much for being here. Tell us a little bit about the Clothesline Project.
Well, the Clothesline Project was started by the Cape Cod Women Agenda in 1990, and it's a space for women to hang shirts that they have made about violences that happened to them or to another person, and they're hung strung on a line on as a clothesline so that people can see how prevalent violence against women and children is. We started in Portland, our clothesline project. We started in 1991 in the garden of Mary Rose, who's, and about 6 or 7 shirts were made that first day. And this is a project of Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, and there, you know, so it's been supported in many towns and cities. In fact, it's all over. I took it to former Yugoslavia when I was there. During the war, we did a clothesline project workshop when we were under siege in Sarajevo, and the shirts were quite amazing that came out of that. So what we do is that we display, like on the 26th, which is Women's Equality Day, when women got the vote. That's when we started in 91, so it will be exactly 18 years that we've been doing this coming Wednesday, the 26th of August. And we'll hang the shirts out in Terry Shrunk Plaza, and there will be shirts and paints for any woman who wants to come and make a shirt for herself or for somebody else, for a loved one or somebody that she would like to make a shirt for. I always feel that the pain, when it's windy and the shirts are moving in the wind, I always feel that the pain is going up to the sky. You know, it's being released.
So if you could tell me a little bit about the DRC and the state of women's rights there, and the Clothesline Project's year-long dedication to raising awareness about sexual violence against women in the Congo.
This year, we decided to focus, emphasize what is happening to women and children in the Congo. There is mass rape all over DRC, and it is horrific what is happening there to women and children, and also to boys, from what I've heard. And so we want to bring awareness to that. And recently, the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, was there and has given help to those women and children, because the situation of these women when, after they have been so brutally raped, is they have fistula, which is very hard to medically put right. It's horrific. We're working for there to be a much kinder way of looking at things. Violence is what causes so many things. After all the rapes, there were systematic rapes in former Yugoslavia in their civil war, and after that, there became a UN resolution, 1820, which calls rape a war crime. So you can go to the war tribunal if you're accused of systematic rape during war, which would be then and also in the Congo. We're going to also talk about UN Resolution 1325, because we feel that this resolution says that women should be present when there's peace negotiations going on after a war, and they should be at the peace table because they bring to it something that they usually the men will be talking about the spoils of war, whereas women bring in how am I going to feed my children, what jobs, and it has happened. They have used this resolution, for example, in Rwanda, which helped the women with their families very much, and women have a much stronger role in that country than they did before the situation. There are a lot of business women that are working.
Right, but the Congo is a much different country.
The Congo is very complicated, and the thing with the Congo is there are so many renegade armies, and it really is all about money. You know, you have to follow the money, because the Congo is such a very rich country in minerals and
right.
coltan and diamonds. And if everybody, you know, if you think of coltan is used in our telephones, in our computers, and many appliances.
Right.
And a war is, you know, people are being killed and used to get this coltan. And where, you know, we I think we have to be aware of where different things come from that make what we need as a, you know, as a society.
Right.
And do something about it, because it's they're killing people and raping people and forcing people to be kids to be soldiers and forcing them to go down mines. And then they make a profit from it. They make so much money.
Right. But it's not the people making the money is the problem, because the Congo is getting literally raped of all their natural resources, and this money isn't going back into the Congolese people. In fact, from what I've read, some of the soldiers, most of them don't get paid, so a lot of them view raping any woman they want as their compensation.
They do get some of the money.
Right.
You know, I mean, it isn't the money. I don't know whoever controls the mines.
Right.
Of course, gets a lot of the money, whatever. Where, you know, I'm not sure exactly how the money is divided up. I know that what I was reading recently, that billions of dollars are made by these renegade groups that are causing the havoc in the DRC.
Renegade militias that are just sort of attacking with no clear objective or goal.
It's so random. You know, they decide to go in one village or another village. I mean, nobody ever knows when, you know.
Right.
Sometimes they know in a bit in advance when they're coming. But and they're all usually drugged out and wear, you know, usually very, you know, very... extremely crazy.
Right.
You know, I can't imagine how... I just can't imagine the violence. You know, I've been through certain violence, but this is a violence I don't think I could ever foresee.
I mean, it literally is just mass chaotic violence. I mean, it's a state of war throughout the entire country, even though there are UN troops there who are supposed to be doing something, I understand.
Well, the UN troops have been there for many years. I mean, there were elections in 2006, and they were, but they haven't had control. I mean, often they've been killed too. I mean, of course, you've got a little bit more protection under the UN if you're, but not always. I mean, the renegade groups do not respect the UN. And they really control. The UN hasn't got a handle on the country itself.
So the Peace Corps isn't protecting them. There's no justice system to turn to. And so when they're attacked, there's really no choice for these women and their families but to run. And that means running into the jungle. And then what?
they when they run out, or they try to run off, then they go in the bush. They have no food. They have, and they get all these different diseases, and they just die. They just, you know, they not only die from the renegade groups, but the militia, but also from just not having anything to eat, because of course they take their animals. You know, they might depend on a goat or two, and then the goat's gone, and they, you know, and also all the crops have gone, so they have nothing left to sustain themselves.
So your options are essentially either, you know, run into the jungle and die of starvation, or stay in your village and live with atrocities of sexual violence and rape and.
Well, yeah, and sometimes they know beforehand when a militia is coming, so then they can move out of the, not all, you know, move into the bush, and or they, it might be in another part of their village or, you know, some, or town, and so they kind of move away until things get quiet, because they, it's random. But it just seems very, very crazy. The insanity, and I think, of course, the drugs and whatever cause make it worse, because they just seem to be on a, you know, it just seems to be part of what they do. You know, the raping and the pillaging, and sometimes they take the young kids to work in the mines. Or to be soldiers themselves.
Right.
Also, we have to look at the problem we have in this country of young women and older women being victims of a lot of violence.
Well, that's exactly right. And while the Congo might be a sort of an apotheosis, certainly in this country we still have huge problems with sexual violence against women, with rape, not just with prevention, but with prosecution and justice.
And also when you go to court, it's like getting raped again, because often they look at your sexual history,
yeah.
What you were wearing. There's one T-shirt that says... is this provocative? I was wearing this T-shirt when I got raped, and it was a big white T-shirt. Until there becomes stronger laws around, the women are believed, because often women will not go to court because they just don't want to be they don't want to be embarrassed about their lives. Because they look into what who they are and what they've been doing, and, you know, they make them sound like they're some loose person, whereas it's that they're just normal, like,
yeah.
And also it's the violence. It's not
just
getting raped. It's getting beaten up with it too, and it's all it's. Then I think there needs to be more people working with the men that do this, and finding a way of stopping it from happening, because I think that the society we live in, a lot of people don't see a lot of the things that happen, and then they blame, and we should never blame the woman. Never blame her for what has happened to her, because then she's frightened of saying anything. And we do need men to be active in helping the clothes. I think what the clothesline does is bring awareness to, because the shirts speak for themselves. You know, there's some of them might be just drawings, and some are words, and they're, you know, I mean, people get very moved looking at them.
I'm sure.
And men, you know, men come and they, you know, some people get annoyed, unfortunately, and women too. I mean, this is the truth of what is happening in this country and in many countries. I think, you know, I can say that sexual violence, violence changed my life. And that, I suppose that's why I've really feel so strongly about violence against women, because you, or girls, as I was a girl at the time, and it just, it what it does to your mind, you feel as if your whole inside is dirty and filthy. You feel like you've got to pull it out, and it does have an emotional effect on who you are, and things can change. I mean, I feel that my experience has helped me to help others when things have happened. I just wish I could, you know, find a way to stop it to happening to anybody. It's like, you know, when you talk about a problem, you always have to start somewhere and just continue working on it, and things can change, and they will change. Right. Because there are a lot more men that are good, you know, that don't do this kind of thing and would never, than there are the ones that do it. And this is what we always have to remember, is that there are more people that don't do the atrocities of war, of rape, than there are the ones that do it.
So tell us about the event on Wednesday, so we can all come out and support you and the Clothesline Project and the women of the world.
So I hope that you'll come and visit the Clothesline Project on Wednesday, the 26th, Women's Equality Day. And it's opposite the Federal Building in Terry Schrunk Plaza, that's Southwest 3rd and Main. And it's going to be there from 9 until 4:35. So it's there all day, and if you feel moved to make a shirt, there are shirts and paints and for you to be able to make a shirt. You know, if you're at work, come in your lunchtime, and there will be speakers at noon and music. So please come and see for yourself the Clothesline.
Great. Yvonne, thank you so much.
How could you?
Franziska Thiel grew up in what is now a war-torn country in the Congo. She moved here to Oregon 20 years ago after marrying a Peace Corps volunteer, but her family, including all of her siblings and her mother, remain in the Congo. She's an activist for women's rights in the Congo, including being part of the Clothesline Project. Franziska, thanks so much for talking with us. Tell us a little bit about the women's rights situation in the Congo right now.
I don't know if there's anything right or if women are, you know, they exist like physically, but I don't think they have any right, you know, especially where I am from. So people have been suffering for a long time since, you know, I mean, it's been bad for almost 2 to 3 years now. So there's a lot of resistance army been there, this raping women and killing people, kidnapping them. So I don't know. People don't really have a life.
And your family, do you know if they're okay?
I really don't know, because I don't get in contact with them, you know, that often. Sometimes the phone works, sometimes it doesn't work because satellite doesn't work. I don't know what is causing that. So it's been a while since I spoke to my mom.
It seems to me that the real gravity of how bad the situation in the Congo really is has been ignored.
Exactly. It's been ignored, and especially that part of the Congo, I can say that it's been ignored, because even the Secretary of the State, she was in a Goma, she never mentioned the LRA in her speech.
Yeah,
he didn't mention anything about what is happening in that particular part of Congo. If there's really bad place in the world, that would be it.
Yeah.
Because there's no road, So the army cannot operate, they cannot do their work properly because they cannot, you know, drive. You know, there's no road and there's no hospital, there's no school. But, you know, and these guys, they burned villages, and in this small town, it's like over hundreds of thousands of people, and causing people to die, you know, from malaria and diarrhea. And, you know, they're helping with food, like sometimes it's like a familiar food to those people, and most people are going hungry too, because it's been like 2 years now, nobody is able to cultivate, because the LRA, they hide in the bushes to come and kidnap people. So all the farm, most of the farm was in a fire, and now nobody can go in the bush to farm anymore.
For those who may not know, could you explain a little bit about the LRA?
It's a Lord Resistant Army. So they are the rebel from Uganda. So they killed many people in Uganda, especially children, in northern Uganda, and then they were chased by Ugandan government, and they went to Sudan, and from Sudan they went to Republic Central Africa, and then they were chased over there, and now they came to Congo and found their safe haven.
Tell us a little bit about what you're doing with the Clothesline Project.
Yeah, this is the first time, you know, I met Yvonne, and I talked to her about what I've been doing. I've been doing that run for Congo women, and I went around. I went to California to speak on a panel to speak about Congo, my village, and I went to Los Angeles and to Berkeley, and then I went to Corvallis, and I go through from school to school here to talk about my village. So people know what is going on. And
what kind of things do you talk about when you go to these places?
Just to, you know, to talk about how bad the situation is over there, and how they're killing people. And myself, I've lost like 10 people in my family. So, and you know, tell them that what they hear now, that we have two big conflicts. So one in Kivu, and that one from the Rwandese, and this one caused by in my village is caused by the LRA. But it's been overshadowed by what is happening in Kivu. So they don't speak mostly about what is happening in Dungu, which is my village. Everybody pay attention to what is happening in Kivu. So then it's what I was just raising awareness about it.
And could you talk about what's going to be happening at this Wednesday's Clothesline Project event?
Yes, there we expose. Normally what happened, they ask women to make a design and to represent what had happened to the person or happened to one member of their family. So, and they can dedicate for this year to help women in Congo. They can expose the T-shirt, and ask everybody will make their own design, and they will talk and make people understand that, you know, there is more violence in the world somewhere that many people don't know about, and these women, they are just been forgotten, and they need to get the world.
Well, Francisca Thiel, thank you so much for talking with me today, and I wish all the best for you and your family back in the Congo, and I'll see you Wednesday. And to everyone listening, I hope to see all of you on Wednesday as well. That's this coming Wednesday, August 26th, 2009. It's Women's Equality Day. The Clothesline Project will be holding their event downtown, 3rd and Main, across from the Federal Building. It's happening all day from 9 to 5. Come and design a T-shirt about an experience that you've had with rape or sexual violence or a loved one, or just come out to hear the speakers and support the cause. And if you'd like to find out more that you can do to help raise awareness and end sexual violence and rape in the Congo, you can go to raisehopeforcongo.org. That's raisehopeforcongo.org. For KBOO FM 90.7 in Portland, this has been Eric Jorgensen.
Thanks for listening.